Okay, the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting is now in session. It's October 10th, 2023. It is 5 p.m. and we are meeting virtually via Teams and in person at the Kiawanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room in Pacific City, Oregon. Call to order. Director Price.
Here.
Director Strotska.
Here.
Director Carlton.
Here.
Director Gogas.
Here.
And Director Donahue, I am the chair. I am also here. Okay, under item two, rules of conduct, all cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. All persons will refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. All persons will refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. All persons will be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. Item three, we already called the roll. Item four, minutes, September.
Tom?
Yes?
I would like to have a roll call of the people that are on the computer or in person there so I can write their names down and know who's there.
Okay, John, we have no one who's physically here other than the directors at this time, and John. We have
just one.
Jeff Bibinger is the only other person on the Teams meeting. Thank
so
you for
Rochelle
the,
is not?
Thank you for the reminder.
No, Rochelle's, she's
not here.
She's not here. She's planning to join, but not. She probably won't be here till 5:30.
Thank you.
Once again, thank you for reminding me. Put that on the next
agenda. Make it a line item.
Yeah. No, we'll just put it under roll call.
Okay.
Okay. Minutes. September 12th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve the minutes for the September 12th, 2023 business meeting.
I'll second.
We have a motion to approve the minutes for September 12th, 2023 from Director Price and a second from Director Strotska. All those in favor, if there are no further discussion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, we have a unanimously carried the motion. Okay, financial report, item A, accounts payable for September 15th and September 30th of 2023. Are there any comments?
I've got questions on the payables.
All right, what are they?
You know, when I was looking through this the other day, you know, I asked the questions and stuff, and some of the questions might be not really understood, but it's just clarification for me. So, like some of the stuff that you guys talk about, it just refreshes my mind of what stuff there are need to be ordered. So, I hope that people don't take offense to it, but I'm just asking the questions. So anyway, we got card services for tools. Are we replacing a lot of tools? Or are we needing more tools for some of the new equipment that we're getting?
Well, I think in this case, we had a volute on a pump that we had to take the pump apart, and it required a 14 millimeter Allen wrench sized socket, and we did not have any of those in stock. So I know that that's One purchase we made was to get a slightly larger Allen head socket set so that we could work on that larger pump. This pump was the one at airport, so it was one of our larger ones.
So do we have, like, you know, because I've never been in the repair shop. I mean, it's been years ago. Do we have, like, a giant-sized toolbox for all of our tools and stuff like that?
Well, our large...
And the trucks have tools?
Yeah, our larger tools, the ones that are less commonly used, we keep in the tool room in the shop. All the utility rigs have a basic set of common tools.
Okay. Okay. All right. That answers that. Thank you. On page 2, there was consolidated supplies, repair of clamp stock.
Yeah, I saw that too.
The amount of clamp. You're replenishing what you guys use for all your clamps.
Yeah, I think we were just replenishing our supply of repair clamps.
Okay. And then Fairview Trucking, dump truck code reset.
Yeah, we had some trouble with one of our vehicles, and I...
Oh, that one also got towed, didn't it?
Yes. And we had to do some work to it. I know there were some error codes. I'll need to get back to you, Cameron, with any additional details of the repair itself. But I'm pretty sure that's what that was referring to.
Now that's not a truck that we're having continuous problems with, are we?
No, it's not. But my understanding is that the online computer system was throwing the code, and it wasn't the dump truck we had to tow. That was a different vehicle. And so I think this was just a service to reset the code, and I don't believe that there were any repairs related. We just needed the code diagnosed and reset. And I believe that's all that was.
Okay. I mean, since everything is going to computerize, it's almost like it'll shut down your... You know, the diesel trucks, they'll shut your thing down if you don't reset them and all kinds of other stuff. So, anyway, thank you. That's good for me. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. If there are no other discussion about accounts payable, I see a motion, Bach, be ready to be made.
I move that we approve the accounts payable for September 15th, 2023, and September 30th of 2023.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Director Price and a second by Director Strotska to approve the accounts payable for September 15th, September 30th, 2023. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
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 Aye. The vote is unanimous. Motion carried. The general ledger for fiscal year 23-24, item B, under the financial report, does anybody have any comments? Hearing none, we'll move on. The manager's report.
Thank you, Tom. A few highlights. Wanted to just mention, as you guys have probably seen, I'll report on a project while I've got things to report on, and I'll come back to it as it nears completion and stuff. Wanted to mention that the Horn Creek stream gauging station is nearly complete. I believe we've got one or two more rounds of measurements to take as the consultants are putting together their calibration curve for us. This is a stream gauging station that is being constructed in accordance with the same way the USGS stream gauging stations and all that are done. And because the streams can change in width, they can change in depth, You have to get a variety of measurements so that you can create a calibration curve that will apply year-round. And in our case, it's really only the summer months that we're primarily concerned with, because the whole reason we're measuring the stream flow is to ensure that we don't pull from the stream in the unlikely event that there was less than, I believe it's 2 cubic feet per second that is in the stream. Well, the only way we can comply with that is to know what the stream's flowing. So that's mainly a summertime thing. That's when this will really, these measurements will really be useful. But we've got the we've got all the surveys done. We've got the influent flow meter installed at Horn Creek. We've never had one before. We've got the staff gauge installed, and we're just about done with our measurements. Now, I do want to let everybody know that there'll be a more condensed version of measurements next year as well, but this is not something they have to do all the time, but they will have to go back and do one more year's worth of measurements. It'll be won't be as many as this year, but I do want to let the board know that even though I say that this is virtually complete in the sense that we can start using this for its intended purpose, and we can now get accurate stream measurements, I do believe there's going to be a second year follow-up with some additional measurements, not as many as this year, but it's something that is almost usable for us now. And we're going to start using it. We're going to take daily measurements of the stream flow. Obviously, we're going to record those. And that's how we will get into compliance or verifiable compliance with our water use permit. So good news on that, progress being made. I have...
Hey, John?
Yeah.
With all this, the study of our flow, and just educate me, will we ever, with all the mud flow, I mean, on the years that we've been pulling out Horn Creek, does that creek need to be dug out in any way, or with the floods and the lot of rain and the silt built up, will this also help with any of that?
Well, I can tell you at our intake, we don't need to do that. I will say, I don't think we see a lot of need for that, Cameron. I will say that we are beginning to work with some folks that are doing stream fish habitat restoration. You might have read a recent article about it in the Headlight Herald.
Yeah.
We're in conversations with that same group of people about doing the same thing at Horn Creek.
And I think it was in the PC Sun as well, that
yes.
same article.
Yes.
John, I have a question. These indicators and measurements I can see are critical. Do we have similar procedures for our wells? Or do we just go, or they stay steady?
Well, there's a different procedure you use for the wells, which is called a drawdown test. And
the what?
It's called a drawdown test, where you run the well and you actually take some measurements to see how much the well has drawn down over a period of time. And that is something we need to do. That's something we're overdue for. And something that we had just talked about only a couple of weeks ago, Leonard and I, that is going to require a consultant. But it's something that we need to do periodically just to ensure that our wells are in good health and that there is not going to be any problem with a particular well supplying its current flow out of the aquifer.
Do we have a regulatory obligation to provide that information to someone?
We don't, but it's
just good.
It's just good practice.
Okay.
We need to. These wells are a valuable resource for us, and we just gotta monitor them and make sure they're healthy and can continue to provide water at their current capacity.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Good question, Tom.
Yes. Want to talk a little bit about RUFL. I've got an update. I was under the impression that Earthworks is going to break ground starting today. Looks like Thursday is when they're going to break ground, but they are mobilizing. They're doing surveying work today. We're doing locating work today. They've called in for the locates. And I believe they're starting to get some materials down there. So this project will finally launch today. There was, as I mentioned in my write-up, there was some concern about availability of parts. Well, we were able to make an adjustment to prevent any additional delay on this project, and I think it was an adjustment that had to be made. You know, one thing that's interesting is I don't recall seeing in the contract any force majeure type of language related to unavailability of parts.
Which in the future we may want to...
I think it needs to be addressed, because in this day and age, supply chain problems are a real thing. And, you know, I'm, you know, looking at it more from the contractor's perspective. I would want to account for that in a contract and have some kind of a leniency in terms of a project going along or something due to circumstances beyond the contractor's control.
As much time as it takes to go through this contracting procedures that we legally have to do, I agree with you. I'm thinking back on in 2008 when I knew of a couple of contractors that actually went broke because the price of plywood skyrocketed, and other lumber too, and they had made bids on homes or businesses, and they had to finish them at a huge loss because they didn't have anything in there on the cost of materials.
Yeah, it's a stipulation I didn't catch, but I'm surprised the contractor didn't catch it.
What was that, Cameron?
Are you guys thinking about like having like a bullet point of areas that need to be met for expectations for stuff like that? That we should maybe write up guidelines or something? And I mean, it may not pertain to everything, but maybe for the future to have this stuff down and have like a check on it.
Well, it would be in the contract if it were pertinent to the particular job that was being quoted.
In this case, the contract was written up by originally, I think, Parametrics, and then double checked by our legal team. Mm-hmm. And so there's two people that should have caught it, as well as the.
Well, it may not be common practice right now, but I think John has an excellent point that we should incorporate. Into at least the discussion with the lawyers and the engineers.
I agree, and you know, our legal counsel and our engineering consultant wrote and reviewed the contract with an eye toward protecting the authority.
Yeah.
And
that is their job.
This is a stipulation that I believe a contractor needs to seriously consider. You know, we should put it in our contracts, but if we don't, the contractor who doesn't see any clause in there that gives them any latitude for things outside of their control. I don't recall seeing a force majeure clause in there. And
that's the technical term for it?
Well, yeah, it's legalese for things outside of your control, act of God, or you know, whatever.
So can we leave it to John to proceed with those conversations?
Got no problem with that. Yeah.
But in this case, luckily, we were able to make a simple design change that does not compromise the project at all. And we definitely wanted to move forward with that, so we did that.
Does that affect our...
Is there anything on this project that we have to provide, like hydrants, pipe, anything like that?
No. No, we don't have to provide anything for this project.
Okay.
Does it affect our repair? Going forward, that we would have to have two stocks of those particular parts?
The only thing it's going to impact is we're going to now need to carry some, not a lot, but some service brass for the copper tubing size.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to carry a roll of the poly, the plastic pipe that we use for these service connections. We're going to have to keep a roll of this size stuff on hand. So it's not the end of the world. It's a few more extra parts. It's only one street. We don't need to carry a lot of it. But that is one impact, is now we do have to carry
a
few extra
spare parts. We
didn't
really have a lot
parts.
Of choice, so with the weather and everything.
Well, you know, considering, all things considered, carrying a few extra parts is not a problem. Pushing this road out, or this job out till January, would have been a big problem.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, just wanted to mention, don't want to make any announcements yet because we still have some pre-hire contingencies. I made an offer to somebody for the new position. I was a little late getting the offer letter out. It hasn't been signed yet. I'm sure it will, but once those things are in place, I'll let the board know who our new addition is.
Great.
And hopefully it will be a new addition and there won't be anybody that backs out of the job at the last minute or something. But things are progressing, and I should know definitively within 2 days, and I can share that information with the board at that time. And I think that's about all I had for the manager's report. Put a couple of comments in here related to the unfinished and new business items, but we can talk about those after next on the agenda, Tom. But that's it for the manager's report.
Okay, any other questions for John? Okay, we'll move on to unfinished business, item 7, the employee handbook harassment policy. John, the last meeting we asked you to contact SDAO and legal, and I believe an HR consultant, but I can't recall if we did that specifically.
Well, I haven't pulled the HR person into it quite yet. I plan to do that. What I have done is I've reached out to SDAO, and got their view from a legal standpoint on some of these harassment issues. And I have reached out to Schwabe, had a meeting with Schwabe last week. 10 minutes before I left to come here, I got Schwabe's first response. So I need a little more time, you know, we have gotten some good feedback from at least 3 board members on some potential edits. I know we're wanting to add something about investigations, but before I put pencil to paper to consolidate all that and to present a draft to the board, I would like to finish these conversations with our consultants.
Absolutely.
And I haven't yet, but you know, the reason I put this on there was mainly just to give you all an update. Although Tom, I think you had a couple of things you wanted to add as well.
Yeah, I did. Cameron and Sean wanted an investigative procedure. As I was rereading the harassment policy as it stands now, there is a procedure that Boley does. And I did some checking with them. They actually have on harassment complaints, they actually have an investigative team. There's an acronym for them, but it's something like below Bureau of Labor Investigating Team. I mean, it's kind of simple, but nonetheless, they come out and go through pertinent information too. So an employee or a constituent has the opportunity to go through BOLI if they have harassment. Although I think it was mentioned in our current harassment policy that we have our own investigative policy or investigative procedure. In this case, I agree with both Cameron and Sean that we have a procedure. A procedure through a policy. And that would require the most practical way to do that would be a resolution. Now we had, I believe it's 1703 was a resolution that we used to follow SDAO's guidelines. And then it was 1801, I believe, that we adopted those guidelines relating to board member responsibilities and duties. And the original adoption of the SDAO guidelines were guidelines, and it mentions in that resolution, I believe, that we would follow up with individual resolutions relating to policy on these kind of things. So that's where I came to the resolution idea. And what I suggest is through more information, John, that you get from SDAO and Schwabe and who else was it? Oh, and our HR consultant. We need to put a resolution together to do this investigative thing, which I think is a very practical thing, seeing as how our harassment policy was literally pretty much handwritten out of Oregon State harassment policy. It relates mostly to sexual harassment, but as we know, there are all kinds of harassment. They were a little vague in specifics types of harassment, which is why I think we need this resolution. And I'm thinking it needs to be a resolution where a constituent, an employee, or a board member can make a complaint. It could be a constituent against a board member, or it could be a board member against a constituent. And or an employee against an employee. There's all those combinations sneaky in there. And I'd also like to see within the law penalties for all those possible scenarios. So it's going to be a little complicated. And so as soon as you give us some more information, what I'd like to suggest, and Sean was deeply involved with this earlier, would work with me and John and anybody else who wanted to contribute on this resolution. Ann, you had a comment?
I do. I see the logic of the resolution suggestion, and that is how we create internal laws or rules for how we operate. I think at this stage in the game, as you suggested, I think it's a good idea for John to incorporate that possibility into his thinking as he talks with the legal advisors and SDAO and the HR consultant, because they may have experience with specific resolutions of this type, or they may say, given those concerns, that you'll find all of those things addressed in this language, so a resolution may or may not be necessary. So I think John will be able to ferret that out.
I noticed in that one resolution it said something like, or the second one, and I believe that was 1801, that said, whereas we have adopted 1704, the guidelines for SDAO, and whereas it was suggested that we follow up with individual policies.
We were elaborating on
exactly.
The basic
so this one would go, whereas we have additionally added, you know, duties and responsibilities, therefore we'd like to present the following procedures, investigative procedures as policy. So it'd go along kind of those lines.
One comment I would have is we need to, perhaps the biggest challenge that I would need to overcome would be we still need a write-up in the employee handbook, and we need a write-up here, and figuring out where to split that and stuff is something that I would need to look at.
Well, in the current harassment policy, it states that an employee goes through the chain of command to make a complaint, if it's an employee we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then you would have to notify the board and all that sort of thing. But an employee also has the option of going through the Bureau of Labor and Industries complaint process also. So there's two processes that an employee could follow. Now, a member of the board, that's a little different because we're elected officials.
We're not employees.
And we're not employees. A constituent.
Resolution.
A constituent could use both our procedure as well as a BOLI procedure to follow up. So there's some redundancy there. But the current policy does state that we have an investigative procedure, or infers as much.
So do you envision that a resolution would be mainly focused on the investigative process?
Yeah, yes I do. But it would have to incorporate all three possible scenarios. As far as the employee handbook is concerned, it would probably have to refer to this new resolution as well as its current reference to BOLI.
Okay.
And their process.
Okay. In the current harassment section of the employee manual, we did adopt by resolution. So I think it would be good to either have a resolution that encompasses any of the changes or just an overall new resolution that adopts the new harassment policy.
And
Let's see what we come up with first.
Yeah.
That will send us down the
appropriate
path. Well,
it's going to be a little tedious, but I think we can do it, and we need to do it.
Yeah.
Just a question I had. You know, part of me wonders if, you know, perhaps like in the sense of a board member, you know, if there are no consequences, does it make sense to have an investigation? I guess it probably does because we want to document it.
I think that would be part of the conversation you might have with people outside our organization.
That might also, the investigation, even if, like you say, a board member, that documented information needs to be available, I would think, for any state agency like BOLI, or any legal consequences that might become of a complaint of some sort.
Yeah.
And I don't think, as far as filing a complaint, I'm debating whether this resolution should narrow itself to strictly a harassment, or it should be any kind of complaint, from a constituent.
Can we let the legal team give their advice and not predict what the conversation is going to be?
Yeah, well, I will continue to push this forward. I've got a range of follow-up conversation with our legal counsel. I'll get that set up to at least get on the schedule tomorrow, and I'll continue to give you guys, you know, the feedback of things I've learned. But I will do my best to incorporate the suggestions, our what we have in the way of policies now, new suggestions, the investigative process, this aspect of involving board members in these discussions. I think I'm in my brain, I'm beginning to piece this together. So okay. I will work on that very diligently between now and the next board meeting, and do my best to be prepared to bring something back to the board of substance and have all of our questions answered.
All right. Thank you, Joanne. Be advised for the record that Rochelle Yule has just arrived approximately 5 minutes ago at 6:30 and is present in the Faye Jensen room. 5:30.
Hi, Rochelle. 5:30.
Hi, Rochelle.
I don't know why the one shirt
does. It's for you. It had your name on it.
44.90.
Because we knew you were going to be the only one.
Let's move on to the next item of business, item 8, new business. The lift station upgrades for Madrona and Vici, John.
Yes. Well, this is a project we started last year, trying to keep the ball and the momentum moving on this stuff. It's time to tackle two additional lift stations. The upgrades there will be almost identical to what was done most recently at Kiwanda and at Straub. These are upgrades that are needed for a variety of reasons. But the next two sites that we have identified are Beachy and Madrona. There's a reason for that. The electrical panel at Beachy is on its way out. I mean, literally, it's giving us trouble, and it's not going to last for a whole lot longer. And Madrona is our last remaining lift station that has chronic rag problems. So we'll address both of those with these upgrades. I don't anticipate any objection from the board on the purchases, but we are asking the board to approve these as a sole source, and there's a number of reasons for that. With the possible exception of our raw and finished water pumps at Horn Creek, virtually every pump we have in our system is a flight pump. The only remaining places that we have not standardized are these two lift stations and three more lift stations that we'll be doing after these. It's the Woods, it's Cindy, it's Roger, it's Beachy, and it's Madrona. So, you know, over time, getting additional quotes for these projects becomes harder and harder. For one thing, we have pulled people into this, and you know, I think they see the writing on the wall. They know we're wanting to standardize. They're tired of being a pawn in this, and they really don't want to play a part in it anymore unless they've got a chance of winning the job. But I can tell you, with only 5 lift stations left to go, and we'll have standardized our entire system, water and wastewater, I can tell you my point of view is, doesn't matter what they come in at cost, we're going to stick to the plan, and we're going to buy these pumps from Xylem, that's the flight distributor. We're going to complete our goal, which is standardizing these systems. And there's a couple of reasons that that's important. One, it's going to drastically reduce the amount of spare parts we need. If we have just a single pump on the shelf that can drop into any lift station in town, there's a lot to be said for that. But not only that, but we've got a maintenance agreement with Xylem to, on an annual basis, to service these pumps. And it's just far more convenient to add five pumps to that than to hire some other company to come and service their pumps. So there is some real benefit to this standardization that we're trying to do. Understanding that it doesn't matter what anybody's quoting, we're going to stick to this path. We don't want to waste people's time. And I think that people realize by now, after this length of time that we've been trying to standardize, and this was started long before I got here, that you know, they'd rather not waste their time, and I'd rather not waste their time. Now, one of the things in the statute that justifies decisions, sole source decisions from governing bodies like ours, is if the sole source provider will improve or increase or make possible the effective utilization of existing parts and equipment. And for the reasons I just said, this will meet that requirement. And so I'm asking the board to not only approve these, but to approve them with the knowledge that these are a sole source procurement, and also with the knowledge that the last three remaining lift stations that we need to do after these will be the same type of thing. So
basically, John, what you're saying, you'd like to do a bid on the remaining lift stations to be all as one.
No, not necessarily. What I'm saying is that I want the board's buy-in on my justification that since we are trying to standardize these last five lift stations, that it makes sense to purchase these from only one supplier as a sole source.
So, I mean, what does the rest of the board think? Do you think that we should just go ahead and have one company just finish up our lift stations?
The others aren't ready to do yet.
See, the other competition have different types of pumps, correct?
Correct.
They want their pumps. So if we standardize, we only have one type of spare pump to have on the shelf as a spare, instead of having three or four different companies. And John's comments about that these companies know we are standardizing. It is very common in other jurisdictions to standardize. So in this case, they don't even want to bid. Is that,
they don't want to bid because they know they're not going to get chosen?
Yeah. So, John, can you remind me where is Madrona and BG?
Madrona is down close to the foot of Shore Drive, the opposite side of Shore Drive than the Pelican Pub is. And Beachy is the lift station that is just on the west side of the Beachy Bridge, right in front of the apartment complex now.
Thank you.
I'm prepared to make a motion.
Go ahead on.
Okay. I do have a request to see if I could combine the two projects into one motion. Is that considered kosher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was more efficient. So, based on information provided by staff, including the advice of SDAO, I move that with the understanding that PCJWSA will be in compliance with state law ORS 279B.075 regarding sole source procurement, that we approve the purchase of equipment for the Madrona lift station as quoted at $44,908.36 and the equipment for the Beachy lift station as quoted at $44,908.36 both of which would be purchased from Xylem Water Solutions USA Incorporated.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to purchase equipment for both lift stations at Vedrona and Beachy as a sole source individual, and the name was
Xylem
Water Solutions.
For the amounts mentioned, and we have a second. That was from Director Price, and the second from Director Strotska. All those, if there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion carries unanimously. Okay, item 9, guest questions and comments. Do we have any comments that were mailed in or emailed in, John?
No, we don't.
Rochelle, anything unusual coming over the phone? Okay, item 10, chair director comments. Are there any comments from the directors?
I do.
Go ahead.
The people that have lift stations and stuff going on people's property, you know, like my property is fenced in, and the reason for my animals not to get out or anything like that. I just, is there anything of how we go about notifying people? Because I certainly, it's always been stated that, well, you're not allowing us access to your property, and that's not the case. I would like to have a notification. So is there, what's the policy as far as notifying people what's going on to their property when you're going to be going to do work?
About easements, are you referring to, Cameron?
Step systems. Step system,
yeah.
Access to the equipment.
I think you said lift stations, but you meant step systems, right, Cameron?
Yeah, the step systems, the whatever, we got 110 of them.
And can I just make another point, too, that I think we need to be careful of having another agenda item effectively under director questions and comments. I mean, I think this is intended for a quick answer. So I always fear that we let the agenda grow, and a published agenda is part of the public record, and we cannot be doing that.
That is true.
And when people have individual property questions of their own, I think that's perfectly appropriate to bring up with the manager directly from a personal property standpoint.
Why don't we have an agenda item for next month addressing step systems and easements?
I'd like to see that addressed, and also, you know, when you go on onto somebody's property that you're using their water, that if the PCJW goes on to someone's property, I don't think it's right that you're using somebody's water when they're paying for that water. I mean, now that we've got a truck that provides water on it, that it should be utilized instead of using a customer's water line.
Maybe we could review the whole that process and procedure.
Yeah, I'll add it to the agenda.
I called Tom and left a message about it.
Yeah, I miss you.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I will say quickly, though, Cameron, we do have to, I do need to reach out to you to make arrangements to inspect your system.
Okay. Any other comments?
No.
Okay. It is now 6:49. I declare this meeting
5:49.
Even better.
Oh, yeah, 5:49. Hey, meeting is adjourned.
Sure,
it's easy, though, because the little hand is real close to the sink. So.